In this series of Shiurim, we will be learning Perek HaChelek, the last chapter of Maseches Sanhedrin. It discusses topics relating to reward and punishment, Olam Haba, the afterlife. And let's begin. We begin the first Mishnah in the last Perek. This is on Daf Tzadi. Tells us, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Olam Haba. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. Every Jew. So the truth is that it seems to mean that even the wicked, once they get punished, they will be rewarded and receive the world. They receive a portion in this world to come. Doesn't mean that there's no reward and punishment. It means at some point they'll get a portion, maybe not an equal portion, but they'll receive a portion. The Rambam writes that the Chasidei Umos HaOlam, the pious people of the non-Jewish world, also have a portion in the world to come, as opposed to, when it comes to Jews, every Jew, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lahem Chelek LaOlam Haba. Now there's a major dispute as to what the definition of Olam Haba is. For example, the Ramban says that the Olam Haba means the world to come, the world in the future. After we die, then there will be, we go to the Olam HaNeshamot, let's say the world of the souls. We may speak about that in a future class, in a future shir. But when we die, we go to the world of the Neshamot, the souls. At some point in the future, there will be Tchiyas HaMesim, resurrection of the dead. And then, after resurrection of the dead, there will be an Olam Haba, not the current world in which we're in now, a natural world. There will be a world to come, a different world, a more of a supernatural type of world. In other words, according to the Ramban, the Olam Haba is a physical world, but a supernatural physical world. Now, the Rambam cannot contemplate that. For the Rambam, if it's physical, it's completely physical. Can't be that we live in a quote-unquote supernatural world after the Mashiach comes, and perhaps there's no eating and drinking. That doesn't make sense. If we're physical beings, then we do all physical stuff. There can't be this concept of a partially physical, partially spiritual world. And therefore, the Rambam understands that Olam Haba refers to where our souls go after we pass away. It's Olam Haba. It's in existence now, but it is an Olam, a world which we go to after we pass away. So that's a fundamental debate between the Ramban and the Rambam as to whether Olam Haba refers to a world in the future that doesn't exist now, that's the Ramban, or whether it refers to the world when we go after we pass away, which does exist now. The Mishnah continues and says, Shenemar, how do you know that every Jew has a portion of the world to come? V'ameich kulam tzadikim, and your world and your nation is made up all of tzaddikim, of righteous people, le'olam yirshu aretz, that forever, eternally, they will inherit eretz, a land. Now, what type of land is eternal? So it can't be this physical world, so it has to refer to olam haba. And again, is it olam haba, the olam haneshamos, the world after go when we die, like the Rambam, or is it referring to the future messianic world like the Ramban? But the Pasuk says that Ameich, all of Klal Yisrael, are they're all tzaddikim, they're all righteous people, and they will inherit an eretz that is le'olam, that is eternal. Netzer Mata'ai, they are a branch that I planted. Masayadai, they are my handiwork. Lihispa'er, that's the end of the Pasuk, that the nation that I selected, I will be glorified with that nation because they are righteous and pure people. Every Jew will receive a portion of the world to come. Now, the problem with this absolute statement is that the Mishnah then says, Elu she'ein lohem chelek olam haba. But every Jew will have a portion of the world to come, except for these people. These people do not have a portion of the world to come. And the Mishnah lists a group of people, Ha'omer ein tchiyas ha'mesim min ha'Torah, someone who says there's no resurrection of the dead from the Torah. Vein Torah min ha'shamayim, and Torah is not from heaven. V'apikores and apikores. And then Rabbi Akiva adds three more categories. He adds two more categories. He says, afakor besfarm hachitzonim, even someone who reads external books that are outside. We have to define what that means. Valoche shalamaka, someone who whispers on a wound, v'omer, and he says, kol amachla sher samti b'mitzrayim lo osim alacha ki ani Hashem rofecha. And he says, any sickness that I placed in Egypt, I will not place on you because I am Hashem who heals you. And Rabbi Shalom, Rabbi Shalom says, Af ha hoges Hashem bosios. He says, someone who says the name of God with its letters. Now, if we were to compare, I guess, the first three examples, the last three examples, the first three examples seem to be very severe. Someone who says there's no resurrection of the dead from the Torah, someone who says Torah is not from heaven, an apikoros, we have to define what apikoros means, but these seems to be individuals who reject fundamental principles of theology, of Jewish theology, or traditional Jewish theology. And Rabbi Akiva then says, Rabbi Akiva's examples of reading external books, whispering or saying an incantation, Lochei Shalamaka, whispering or saying an incantation on a wound. And the third category of someone who says God's name, to say you don't get a portion of the world to come, it seems pretty extreme. So you could argue that maybe this is simply a polemic. Everyone has a portion of the world to come. Some people don't have a portion of the world to come. We really don't know. It's hard to argue that. We'll see that in future shiurim, the Rambam actually paskins. He has a list of people who don't have a portion of the world to come. The Rambam takes this list and perhaps other examples very seriously. So how do we understand all of these categories about the people who are excluded from Olam Haba? So first of all, the Maral regarding the first three categories of rejecting resurrection of the dead, rejecting Torah from Shemayim, and someone who is an apikores, the Maral says that each of these individuals rejects a different aspect of Olam Haba. So if you reject a certain aspect of Olam Haba, you do not merit Olam Haba. The first individual rejects the concept that someone will be resurrected. He denies resurrection from the Torah, so he denies that someone will be resurrected. If he denies that concept, so then that means he's rejecting it, so he will not receive that benefit. If you reject Torah from heaven, then you're rejecting the whole concept of resurrection, and if you're not Bikoris, you're rejecting God that created Olam Haba. So the first three categories, according to Maral, are rejecting a certain aspect of Olam Haba. Now, when it comes to a denial of the resurrection from the Torah, there's a fascinating debate here. And the debate is the following, among some of the Mefarshim. When you're rejecting Tchiyas HaMeisim min HaTorah, are you rejecting Tchiyas HaMeisim? You're rejecting resurrection of the dead? Or are you rejecting resurrection of the dead from the Torah? Meaning, is the problem here simply that you say that I don't believe that Tchiyas HaMeisim exists? Or is the problem that maybe I'm okay with Tchiyas HaMeisim, but I don't believe that it comes from the Torah, that source that's hinted at in the Torah? Now, Rashi seems to take the latter approach. Rashi says, Shekofer b'midrashim, that someone, he was rejecting the midrashim, the darshina b'gemara l'kaman, minayin l'chiyas HaMeisim min HaTorah. That later on, the Gemara is going to give a different hint as to resurrection of the dead from the Torah, and this person rejects them. And even if you admit and you believe, I believe in the concept of resurrection of the dead, but it's not hidden in the Torah, you're considered a heretic. Since you reject that there is resurrection from the Torah, why do I need it? And why do I need to believe in it? How do you know that it exists? Therefore, he is a complete heretic. In other words, Rashi is saying is that if you don't believe that it's sourced in the Torah, then why should we believe in it at all? So therefore, even if you believe in it, but you don't believe that it comes from the Torah, then you are considered a heretic. Now, the Sefer Bereshiva disagrees. And he says that he brings a number of proofs that if you believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, but you don't believe that it's hinted in the Torah, you still have Olam Haba. After all, the Gemara seems to say later on that this is a Mida Keneged Mida. If you don't believe in Olam Haba, then you're not going to get Olam Haba. So if you believe in Olam Haba, but you don't believe it comes from the Torah, you still believe in Olam Haba, you still should get it. And there are other examples. There's a Rabbi Eliezer who said that Rabbi Yossi who says that I prove the idolaters wrong because in their books they reject Olam Haba, and I prove to them that they're wrong. And what does that mean? Or they reject Tchias HaMesim, and I prove that they're wrong. Well, what does that mean? Did they believe that there's Tchias HaMesim, but not from the Torah? It was in their heretical books. And the Sefer Ikarim also has a number of proofs to indicate that he thinks that there is, that if you believe in Tchias HaMesim, just you don't believe that it's from the Torah, then you still get Olam Haba. And therefore, there is a whole school of thought that believes that Rashi didn't say what's written. That it was a student wrote what's written in our Rashi, and they mistook what Rashi said. That really can't be that if you believe in Tchias HaMesim, but you don't believe that's hidden in the Torah, then you don't get Olam Haba. And they believe that Rashi is mistaken. However, you don't have to say that. You could argue again that Rashi's position is that believing Tchias HaMesim without the belief that it's sourced in the Torah, that's a dangerous ideology. You know, initially, in the beginning of the Reform Movement, so the founders of the Reform Movement first believed that we should keep the Torah, but what? We believe that Moshe wrote it, didn't come from God. So what's the next step? The next step is that, well, if Moshe wrote it, then we don't have to believe in the Torah at all. So even though perhaps believing in Tchias HaMesim but saying it didn't come from the Torah is not as dangerous an ideology as not believing in Tchias HaMesim, nevertheless, once you believe that Tchias HaMesim is not sourced in the Torah, it's not hidden in the Torah, then the next step is simply to reject it. And that might be the position of Rashi. And we don't have to say that it's necessarily a mistaken view of Rashi, but that's a source of debate. The idea of you know, denial that Torah, the second category of you deny that Torah comes from heaven. So we're going to see the Gemara mentions that even if you mention one pasuk was not divinely inspired, then that is also considered someone who does not get a chelik, a portion in the world to come. We're going to discuss in a future shiur. There's a famous Gemara, which cites an opinion that the last eight psukim were written by Yeshua, not by Moshe. How does this fit into this category? But on a simple level, someone who says that Torah is not mina shemayim means that it's not divinely inspired. What's an apikores? The Rambam says an apikores is someone who comes from the lashon of hefker, someone who disgraces the Torah or Torah scholars. The Bar Tanura says it's hefker. He doesn't care about his life. He's mafker his own life. And so much so because he disgraces the Torah scholars and doesn't care about his life. The Tashbetz actually says that Apikoros was actually the name, it's not from the Torah of Hefker, it's actually the name of a Greek heretic. Oh yeah, you're an Apikoros, you're like this guy, Epikouros. And anyone who's an Apikoros is like this heretic, this Greek who believed in egoistic hedonism, basically says that the only thing that is intrinsically value is one's own pleasure. Anything else that has value is merely seeking, the only thing that has value is simply to secure pleasure for myself. So this philosophy, anti-Torah philosophy from Epicurus, is what an Epicurus is. Someone who doesn't care about Torah at all, he simply wants to enjoy all the pleasures in this world. The Rabbi Kiva adds, what about reading Devarim Chitzonim? So I think, why is this listed? So I think there are two schools of thought as this notion of being Kore B'Sefer Chitzonim. So some want to argue that maybe it means the Apocrypha and the New Testament. And a Kore doesn't simply mean someone who reads, but someone who treats it as part of the canon. And I was told that he thought it means about having a public reading, which would indicate identification with one of the sects that considered the works canonical. In other words, HaKor B'Sefer Chitzoni might mean, you simply read some heretical books yourself. It's that you take one of these books that are not part of Tanakh and say that it is part of Tanakh. Now that's obviously a very dangerous ideology. There's another way to read this. The Bar Tanura says, no, if you read it, it's a waste of time. That's difficult. It's because it's a waste of time. Therefore, you don't have a portion of the world to come. That's a very dangerous position. Another way to understand this, I would say more than a prohibition,
but this reason why someone would be denied Olam Haba based on Sfarim HaChitzonim, the Bar Tanura writes, again, as I mentioned, it's a waste of time. This is really based on the Rambam. And the Rambam sees that wasting your time is not only tragic, but it's destructive. In a number of places, the Rambam writes that the issue of even following idolatry is, the Rambam writes that this is the act of behavior of fools. And the Rambam writes, for example, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Daled, that initially our ancestors were idolaters, v'toin achar ha-hevel, that we were led astray, we made mistakes, we followed nonsense. The Mor Nevuchim Chela Gimel Perek Lamed explains that idolatry is that when we left from idolatry and we ended up now serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we were mesalek hayegia migufosenu bevitol osam ha masim ha miyagim she'ena mo'ilim, that we remove the exhaustion, the weariness from our bodies by neglecting those things that simply we spend a lot of time doing that don't assist us in life when we entered into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we left all this wasteful enterprise of living a life of basically doing nonsense, engaging in nonsense and meaningless behavior. So the Rambam believes that if you don't value your time and your whole orientation towards life is about just simply seeking pleasure and not engaging in anything meaningful or not engaging in something to fulfill a higher cause and not using a life productively, then we lack our any appreciation of why we're here, and this whole orientation leads to lack of a rejection of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is only a result of someone who spent their days and their lives of trying to engage in meaningful pursuits. If their whole orientation is not that, then this would preclude Olam Haba. So I guess there are two different ways, again, to read this explanation of Svarim Chitzonim. This is referred to making heretical works part of the canon, or basically asserting that reading or engaging in frivolous activities is by very essence and not leading a productive life. The next category is being lochesh al hamaka, whispering on the wound, some kind of incantation. And the Rambam explains that we believe that the Torah can heal our souls, but can't heal our bodies. It's not a Torah, you can't say an incantation from the Torah and that will physically heal our bodies. So there's a discussion that maybe you only lose Olam Haba if you actually, there's rakika, there's some spittle on the wound, and then you make this incantation. But this is the issue here is believing that the words of Torah, saying the words of Torah, could actually physically heal an ailment, and that again distorts the whole notion of the Torah. The Torah is a guide for life. The goal of the Torah is to improve our souls, to refine ourselves, to live a meaningful life. It's a guide, it's a blueprint for leading a meaningful life. So if we simply say that these Torah words are merely, we say these words and then we feel better, so this is a distortion of the very essence of the Torah. And again, there are those who believed in saying certain incantations could lead to medicinal, but that could lead to, can result in certain healing processes. And the question is, how does that deal with this Mishnah or this line? Again, there might be a difference between saying a prayer or some kind of incantation, a skula, versus actually using words of the Torah, distorting their very essence, and saying the words of the Torah can result in healing. And the third thing is basically, the third issue that the Abba Shaul says is saying the 42-letter name of God, again, using it for your own designs. Using this word, this name of Hashem, again, for your own designs, that's a distortion of the Torah. Again, we believe that God is there for us to give us a guide on how to lead a meaningful life. It's not that we have certain needs and we manipulate a God or a divine word to benefit ourselves physically. That's the exact opposite of the orientation of the Torah. And therefore, all six of these categories that the Mishnah lists, the first three probably more obvious, but the last three also are not simply sins, but they reflect a distorted ideology and orientation of what Jewish life is all about. And therefore, these six categories of individuals have no portion in the world to come.